Good to have your Bibles open at Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to be referring to that, looking at that together this evening. Now, our topic this evening is this: how to have a successful life. How to have a successful life. I'm sure everyone in this room wants to have a successful life. You'd be a very odd person if you didn't want to have a successful life or a prosperous life. And Joshua gives us the key to a successful or a prosperous life. Rather, it's God speaking to Joshua who gives us the key to a successful life. God tells Joshua how to have a successful life. He says to Joshua, verse 8 there, the end of verse 8, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So we want to learn from that this evening. What God says to Joshua applies to us too. This is how you and I can have a successful life. First of all, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is a successful life? What is a successful life? You went up and down the street outside, or perhaps took a tour of the shopping centre on a busy Saturday morning, and you picked a random selection of people with your clipboard and said, What is a successful life? I wonder how many answers you would get. You'd probably get many different answers. Well, one where you earn a lot of money and where you have no financial worries, where you're healthy, prosperous in every way, all those kinds of answers. They might say to you, well, if you win the lottery, then you'll have a successful life. That's not the answer that you find God giving to Joshua to that question. That's not what a successful life is by God's definition. Joshua is an example of a man who had a truly successful life, a truly prosperous life. By learning the lesson that God taught Joshua, we too can have successful lives. In fact, if we put into practice the lesson that God taught Joshua here, then we are guaranteed, in fact, a successful life. No doubt about it. It's a cast iron guarantee of a successful life. Well, if that's available to us, it brings us back to our question: what is a successful life? Joshua said, shows us what a successful life is. He shows us how to have one. Well, how can I say that? How can I just take these words that God spoke to Joshua here and say that they apply directly to us? When were these words written? They were written about 1400 BC, before Christ. Now, if you add 1400, 1400, 2010, you get roughly 3,400 years. 3,400 years ago, God spoke these words, roughly that long ago, to Joshua. Well, surely success for us can't mean the same things as success for Joshua. 3,400 years between him and us. Surely success for us can't be the same as success for Joshua. Well, yes, it can be. And no, it isn't. Double answer. The Bible is no ordinary book. Things which happened to people thousands of years ago, we know the Bible tells us itself, they were written down for our learning. That's what Paul says. And there's examples for us. Romans 15 verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. For our learning and as examples for us, these things happened to them, they were written down for us to learn from. But we need to be careful when we read the Bible. We need to be a bit careful before we immediately pluck something out and say, well, that means this for me. We need to go about it with some care. Why do I say that? Well, Joshua, you see, he was a military leader. For him, success would mean using military force against God's enemies to drive out the nations from their land, to drive out these nations who were very wicked in their ways, who were enemies of God. The time had come to punish them in God's judgment and to drive them out of the land. And that was success for Joshua, was military force being used against God's enemies, taking over their land and giving it to God's people. Joshua had great power and influence, and his conquests gave him wealth and possessions as they took over the land, and all the people with him, they acquired wealth and possessions. So is that what success means for us? Can I say to you this evening, Joshua is our example. Paul tells us they're written down for our example. So Joshua is our example. So therefore, Christians should form an army and fight God's enemies on the battlefield. No, we can't say that, can we? That's to misuse the Bible. But there are people around who use the Bible in that kind of way. They say that God wants all Christians to be rich, to be influential, to be healthy, outwardly successful in every way. Is that true? No, it isn't, is it? There have been people, I don't know if any around today, perhaps there are some, but in the past they said, well, Christians, they need to get together, form armies, go out, fight wars, and conquer the land of Israel, the physical land of Israel. They misused the Bible. So we need to be careful when we come to God's word and not pluck out a verse and say, well, it works this way. So how should we do it properly? How can we say success for Joshua? Is it success for us? Well, no, not in some ways, but yes, it is in others. How can we avoid falling into the trap of misusing God's word? Well, we need to ask ourselves a basic question. One of the many questions that we need to ask as we come to God's word that help us to understand it. But one of the basic questions that we need to ask is, where on God's timeline is this part of the Bible? Where is it in God's timeline? Where is it in God's program of events for the world? The Bible is not a random collection of incidents and historical events and teachings. It has an order to it. There's a progression, a moving forward. There's a storyline, there's a definite sequence to God's word. Do you, this evening, do you know the storyline of the Bible? Could you explain it in 5 minutes to someone who asked you to do it? Could you tell, someone asked you and said, what's the basic storyline of the Bible? Could you explain it to them in 5 minutes? It goes something like this. We're not going to do it fully, but it goes something like this. Well, God made the world good, made it perfect, but the first man and woman disobeyed God. And since then, the world has been spoiled because God is just and holy, good. He has to punish wrongdoing. Because God is just, he has to punish with death even for sin. But because God is love, he puts into operation his rescue plan. He would send his own rescuer to rescue people from their sins. And God chose one man, Abraham, and he took him out of his family, and he promised that his descendants would become a great nation. And through one of those descendants in particular, all the nations on earth would find true happiness. And at that course, that one descendant of Abraham, we know, is Jesus Christ. So that's a timeline of the Bible, very short one, far more to it than that. Where is Joshua on the Bible timeline? Is he before or is he after Jesus Christ? Well, he's before Jesus Christ, isn't he? A long time before, 1400 years or so before Jesus Christ. Where are we on the Bible timeline? We're after Jesus Christ, aren't we? We come later. So we fit into a different place in God's story and his plan of events for the world. And that introduces some thoughts to us. So when we look at this and say, well, for Joshua, success meant conquering these nations and using physical military power against these nations. Well, in those times, the physical nation of Israel was pointing forward to something more wonderful. It was pointing forward to the Church of Jesus Christ in our times. They were one nation, one physical nation, Now the Church of Jesus Christ is God's special people, made up of people from every country, not just the Jews, but Gentiles as well, people who are non-Jews, people from every nation of the world. When Israel were brought out of slavery in Egypt, when Moses led them out, that was really the greatest single event of the time before Christ. Perhaps you can think of the flood as well, but really the focus of the Old Testament refers back again and again and again to that bringing out of Egypt, that rescue from Egypt, that redemption, if you like, of God's people from Egypt. That was the single greatest event when God brought his people out with mighty acts of power. And that great rescue of his people in those days pointed forward to the great rescue that Jesus was going to do when he came and died on the cross, when he paid the price for our sins and he set his people free to enjoy serving God forever. So those times that they lived in, that Joshua lived in, were pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. So success for us is different in some of its practical details to success for Joshua. So success for him isn't the same for us. But even so, it is the same in some ways, because the principle remains the same. The basic principle remains the same. What was success for Joshua really? When you boil it down to just one thing, what did success for Joshua boil down to? Well, it's here in this passage. God says to him, verse 5, I will be with you, I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Success for Joshua meant having God with him. It meant walking with God. For him, literally, they'd walked for 40 years around the desert, camping in different places. Walking with God, led by that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that was with them at night. Walking with God, having God's presence with them. It meant for Joshua, says verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land. God had given Joshua a job to do. So success for Joshua meant doing the work that God had given to him. And so, after all, we can say that success for us is the same as success for Joshua. For us also, success means having God with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can look over into Hebrews chapter 13 and you'll find that those very same words quoted to Christians. Having God with us, walking with God in our lives, and carrying out the tasks that God has given us to do, fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. Our lives God has a different purpose for from the precise purpose he used Joshua for, but he has a purpose for each one of us. So it's having God with us and fulfilling the purpose that God has given us in our own lives. The details, yes, they do change, but the principles remain the same. And whether this evening we appear outwardly successful and prosperous or not to other people, that's not what matters. True success is this: it's having God with us. It means keeping close to God and fulfilling his purpose for our lives. Well, is your life a successful one? Are you prospering in your own life? Put it another way, is God with you? Is God your friend? Well, if God is with you, if he is your friend, then whatever your outward circumstances, you are prospering. You will prosper, you will be successful, guaranteed. Now, Joshua, of course, was going to have great military success when he went into the Promised Land. But he'd also been successful all the way up to this point in his life. Even though instead of advancing into the Promised Land, he was forced to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years through no fault of his own. Joshua knew what it was to suffer, to be frustrated, to have the land so close and yet so far away. And yet through it all, Joshua kept close to God. And that's true for the Christian. Through pleasant times and hard times, all these things work for the good of the one that God is close to. Success is having God with us and fulfilling his purpose for our lives, whatever our outward situation is. Successful life then is a life where God is with you, where you fulfill God's purpose for you, where you bring that fruit from your life that God intends and God wants from you. So that's our first question. What is a successful life? And our second question, and really the one that we're going to finish with probably, is this. What is the key to a successful life? What is the key to a successful life? No use knowing what a successful life is if we don't know how to have it and how to get it, is it? Well, the key is given to Joshua by God in this passage. It's there in verse 8. And the key there in verse 8, what does God say to Joshua? He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So it's God's book which is the key to a successful life. Not just having it in our possession, not just knowing it in our heads, but believing it in our hearts and acting upon it. A truly successful life is a Bible-based life. If you want a successful life, you need to base your life on God's book, the Bible. That's the way to a successful life. We've said that a successful life is God being with us, and God says to Joshua, verse 5, "I will be with you, I will not leave you nor forsake you." It's doing the work that God has given us to do. God says to Joshua, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." That was his job. But there was a condition attached, wasn't there, to those promises? Because God said, "Only be strong and very courageous," verse 7, "that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So there was a key, wasn't there? There was a key to unlock this successful life for Joshua, and it was God's message, his book, his word given to him. This book of the law. And what does he say to do with it to Joshua? In verse 8 he says, "It shall not depart from your mouth." It was to be on his lips. He was to speak it. He was to meditate in it. In other words, think it over in his mind, chew it over in his thoughts, day and night, all throughout the day, all his conscious time, he was to be thinking about this word, applying it to his actions, living his whole life in the light of this message, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So there's a condition attached, isn't it? There's the key to a successful life. The key is the same for us. God's book, the same for us. And we are far better off, aren't we, than Joshua was. How much of the Bible did Joshua have? He only had the 5 books of Moses, didn't he? The law, the book of the law, in its narrowest sense, means those 5 books of Moses that God was referring to. He perhaps had Psalm 90 as well, that Moses wrote, maybe one or two other psalms, I don't know, that Moses may have written, but very little more than that. That was what Joshua had, but that was enough. God gave him enough for his life, but we have so much more. We have the whole Bible, the full message of God to the world. And the key to a successful life is following God's book, the Bible. Well, why does following this book lead to a successful life? Why does it lead to a successful life? Well, one of the things it does for us is it shows us the problem with our lives. It shows us the sin in our hearts. That's what God's law does for us, isn't it? Especially shows us that our lives don't meet God's standard. We've broken God's laws. God is perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, perfectly good, and we have broken God's law. We deserve to be punished by God, and when we try and keep the commandments, if we know them, well, we find that we can't. We can't even live up to our own standards. The Bible shows us our sin. That's one step on the way to a successful life, to know the problem that we have that keeps us from that successful life, from a life that pleases God. The Bible doesn't stop there, does it? It shows us the solution. It shows us the solution to our problem. It'd be no use just showing us the problem and not giving us the cure, would it? And it shows us the solution. It shows us the sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, where he was paying the debt that we owe and could never pay off ourselves. And Joshua, he had God's law pretty fully. He had a very clear account of the Ten Commandments, and he could see the problem very clearly. He could see all these rules which the Jews would struggle to keep and would never manage to keep perfectly. But he had only as a seed, did Joshua, he had a seed about the solution. He had those promises in the book of the law about the coming Christ, the Messiah, that God want, that rescuer that God was going to send into the world, that descendant of Abraham. He had those in seed form, just the seed, just the very beginning of those things. And that was enough for his faith. That was enough for him to rest on. That was enough for him to believe and to have that successful life. But we have far more, don't we? We have the full fruit of that seed. We have Jesus Christ having come in the flesh as one of us. We have him having lived and died for us, the record of it, the eyewitness accounts of it, what he said, what he did, how he lived, how he died, how he rose again from the dead. We have that great mystery that was hidden from Joshua revealed to us, the wonder of God's kindness towards us, that favour, that grace that is shown to us that we do not deserve. It's fully revealed to us. John says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and we have Jesus Christ. So the book is the key to a successful life. How? Well, it shows us the problem, it shows us the solution, and more than that, beyond that, it also gives us the pattern for living, doesn't it? We're not left alone to make up what it is to live the Christian life. It gives us the pattern, and most of all, Christ himself is the pattern. It's a Christ-like life, isn't it, that we are called to live in God's strength. So that's what a successful life is. How to get it? Well, it's through that book, God's book. So as we draw near to an end of this evening, will your life be a successful one? Is your life going to be a successful one? Is it a successful one? Not in the eyes of people around you, but in God's eyes. If your life is not Bible-based, it will not be successful. Yes, you may achieve great things that other people admire you for. You may become rich. You may have many different things. But still, your life is not really successful in God's eyes. It's a disaster. It's not a success because the problem of your sin is not solved. You've not experienced God's forgiveness. God is not with you in your life. Your life is not being fruitful for him. Is that your position this evening? Well, if it is, then even tonight that can change. Because if you believe this message of God we've been talking about briefly this evening, if you believe that message for yourself and your life, and you believe it and you embrace it in your own life, then your life will become a successful life from this moment on. You know, people trust in all kinds of things, don't they, for success and for prosperity. Apparently, I don't know if you know this, but that several registry offices around the country have opened specially today on a Sunday. Registry offices opening on a Sunday. Why? Why is that? Well, apparently People are wanting to get married today. Why today of all days? Well, today's date, 10-10-10, isn't it? And they think that getting married on such a date will bring them good luck and prosperity in their marriage. Well, what a foolish trust, what a foolish and empty hope. There's something far better than that, isn't there? God's own book. We have a message which can never fail, promises which can be relied on, that depend not on superstition and wishful thinking, but on the word of a God who cannot lie. What are you trusting in for a successful life? Is it your own hard work? Is it your intelligence, your family background? Well, those things are good, aren't they, in themselves? But if you trust in those things for a successful life, you'll be disappointed in the end. Your life is a disaster without God and without believing and acting upon his book. Perhaps you have believed God's book for yourself. Perhaps you have realised the problem of your sin. You've accepted and taken that solution that the Bible gives, Jesus Christ as your Saviour and your Lord. But your problem is that you don't feel very successful. You know that these promises are there, but you don't feel very successful. You face perhaps daily problems that weigh you down. There may be health issues, there may be job insecurity, an unknown future, changes outside your control. People of Israel at this time were facing change, transition to a new order of things. Moses had died, the familiar Moses who'd been with them for 80 years as their leader. Now Joshua was taking over. What would the future hold? Going across this river into an unknown country. Giants ahead, battles to fight. Well, there are times, perhaps in our lives, when we are lifted up by answers to prayer, when we can see that God is helping us, and in obvious ways, and we rejoice in God's blessings to us. Well, if that's your situation this evening, then be thankful. That's God's gift to you. But don't expect that it will always be so. Jesus himself promised much tribulation, in other words, great difficulty in the life of the Christian. Joshua himself, he faced many trials, didn't he, and setbacks in his life, even going forward from this point, defeat at Ai and so on, sin in the camp of the people of Israel. Many trials, and so will we as God's people. We live by faith and not by sight. And whether or not we feel successful, if we're following Christ, it's by faith that we know that our lives truly are a success from God's standpoint. It's only by faith that we know these things. Perhaps you're feeling your age and the physical limitations that increasing age brings, and you can't do the things that you once would have done or would like to do now. Well, how should you react to that situation? Well, perhaps just flick over to Psalm 92. What is there for you in that situation? Psalm 92, verse 12. What does it say about God's people? All of us as God's people in this category, by God's grace, not through our own efforts. It says, Psalm 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Fruitful prosperity is his life. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, putting God's people, members of his kingdom, his family, his church. These people, they're planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God, they shall still bear fruit in old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So prosperity isn't about physical strength and good health. Moses, yes, his vigour was unabated to 120. That isn't God's purpose for most of us, is it? But there is still fruitfulness. There is prosperity, and God's promise is such prosperity to his people. And Andrew and I were talking the other day about what a privilege we have in this church to have so many older Christians who are a good example to us, to us younger ones, of how to live the Christian life of continued faith in adversity and difficulty and so on, and many, many trials and many blessings to look back on and to encourage us with. So Whatever your situation this evening, you're promised in Christ a successful life through applying this book of the law, God's word in its entirety, in your life. What is a successful life then? It's not material possessions, it's not riches, it's not winning the lottery. A successful life is a life where God is with you, where you produce the fruit that God intends for you. That's different for each one of us. There's some overlap that God wants certain fruit from every Christian. God wants certain fruit from every Christian, but specific fruits from us as individuals, doesn't he? Specific roles, specific gifts he's given to us to exercise stewardship over and to use in his service. That's a successful life, a life where God is with you, where you produce the fruit that God intends for your life. What is the key to a successful life? Living by the book, God's book, believing it, believing its problem that it reveals to us, believing that problem exists and is reality in our own hearts, believing the solution to that problem, the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and his death, his resurrection on our behalf. Believing it's the problem, the solution, and living it out in every area of your life. Is your life then successful? What will God's verdict be when you meet him?